Welcome to Armed American Radio, brought to you by the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every Sunday night, right here on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA. And now your host, Mark Walters.
Oh, yeah. That's great. Turn it up. Makes me want to stand up and say, ow! Welcome, everybody, and good evening, America, and I do mean all of America. Welcome, everyone listening across the country tonight from the great Pacific Northwest down to the People's Republic of California, up to New England, and back to the Southeast. You're listening to Armed American Radio, brought to you by the United States Concealed Carry Association, the ultimate resource for the armed citizen, you. I'm your host, Mark Walters, the Ordinary Guy columnist with Concealed Carry Magazine, the official publication of the USCCA. I'm bringing it to you live tonight and every Sunday from the Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA studios here in the Buckhead section of Atlanta, Georgia, where the city councilwoman running for mayor of the city was a three-time victim of a hot home invasion earlier this week, and I'll have some advice for her later on tonight here on Armed American Radio. My producer and board operator is Mr. Eugene Bright, and the numbers to reach us in the studio tonight are 888-920-2665, 888-920-2665. Or you can reach us local at 770-226-0920. That's 770-226-0920. I'm going to be giving those numbers to you again after each break tonight in case you were not fast enough with your pencil and your paper. A number of listeners have asked us to do that. We're going to accommodate you. The program is for you, and we will definitely put you on the air if you call in. Two quick announcements tonight. One of them, both of my little angels, Ryan, 5 in September, and Lindsay, 7 in November, are listening to their dad tonight. They wanted to hear me, thank you very much, say their names on the radio. You guys be in bed by the time I get home, okay? I have another fun announcement tonight, real quick. Armed American Radio has a new sponsor debuting tonight, GeorgiaCarry.org, and we're very proud to have them with us. I am a card-carrying member of GeorgiaCarry.org, and if you're not, you need to be. $15 a year, folks, $15 a year. Fighting for your firearms rights, you do not need to be a resident of Georgia to be a member of GCO. Their court victories will impact you regardless of where you live. Join us at www.georgiacarry.org. It's great to have them with us now. Great program last week, everybody. A tremendous conversation with close friend and Suarez International instructor, Mr. Vincent Larry Savage. I've heard some tremendous feedback, and we appreciate that very much. Two good friends talking about guns. What could be more American than that? Maybe mom and apple pie? Or even better, eating mom's apple pie while talking to mom about guns? That would certainly fit the bill, I think. In case you missed it, you can pick it up on our website at www.armedamericanradio.org. Go check it out. It's up on the site. Lots going on this past week, everybody, not the least of which was the announcement by the teleprompter reader-in-chief of his politically correct selection of Ms. Sotomayor for the soon-to-be-vacant Supreme Court seat. I say politically correct because I can think of no other reason for a U.S. president to nominate a judge who is overturned more than 60% of the time. Overturned 60% of the time by the folks she's going to be sitting with. And let's face it, she's going to be sitting there. That's unbelievable. Therefore, I can only imagine that the Pied Piper-in-Chief selected her because she is a she and because she is of Hispanic descent. Her decisions are overturned 60% of the time, ladies and gentlemen, but that doesn't matter because she will be the first Hispanic on the court. That kind of thing matters to Obama. I think to the rest of us, I know me, I could care less. Couldn't care less, excuse me. Her position on the Second Amendment? You got it. Enemy. She is one of only three appellate judges since the Heller decision to rule that the Second Amendment doesn't apply to the states. Are you surprised that the gun hater-in-chief would do such a thing? Actually nominate an anti-gun judge to the Supreme Court? Here's the deal. She isn't going to tip the balance of the court's ideology. She's a liberal activist judge replacing another liberal activist judge. Let's just hope it's his last pick. Another unbelievable story this week appeared in Pravda, the Russian newspaper, and it was run by Drudge. Drudge picked it up this week. It was titled American Capitalism Gone with a Whimper. I want to read the first line. I won't go into the column. You can pick it up. You go into Drudge and search for it. But the first line, it must be said that like the breaking of a great dam, the American descent into Marxism is happening with breathtaking speed against the backdrop of a passive, hapless sheeple. I meant people. Go in and pick up the rest of that column. It is really something to read, and it's a little bit frightening. not shocking to those of us who do not subscribe to the socialist Marxist agenda. But speaking of socialists, how about this? North Korea detonates a nuclear bomb. Obama says nothing. Then, because of the absolutely brutal nothingness response, the two-bit dictator shoves two more missiles skyward as he lets loose another volley a couple days later. This time he gets a response from the weak-kneed in chief. You better stop it, or I'm going to tell the UN on you. And if that doesn't make it clear to Kim Jong-il, I don't think anything will. Stop it, or I'm going to tell on you. My point, exactly. My point, Obama, like most socialists, love the UN. The same world body that wants to strip you of your right to bear arms by doing an end run around the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Small arms. You have to pay attention to this stuff, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to sleep with one eye open. You cannot relax for a moment. Okay, Roger Goose, we're going to guns. We have a great program lined up for you tonight. If you're a member of the USCCA, United States Concealed Carry Association, then you have more than likely received your Concealed Carry magazine this past week. As usual, great stuff. You're looking at, well, here, so I've got a copy here. Start my column. Hey, how about that? The Ordinary Guy, The Mean Streets of Tampa, Savage Gunfight, referring to my interviewee last week, Vincent Larry Savage. Great stuff. Six Hour Academy, Pocket Carry of the Primary Concealed Gun, Street Tactics by Gabe Suarez, In Steel We Learn the Truth, From Incident to Acquittal, The Role of the Private Investigator in Deadly Force Cases, It's Just the Law, Animal Weapons, Real World Carry Gear by Dwayne Diker, and, of course, one of my favorites, The Armed Senior Citizen by Dr. Bruce Eimer. Dr. Eimer is the co-author of The Essential Guide to Handguns. He is a licensed clinical psychologist and NRA-certified firearms instructor in Philadelphia, PA. Bruce teaches concealed carry classes for Florida, Virginia, and Utah permits, along with giving private firearm instruction. Dr. Eimer is also the owner of Personal Defense Solutions, and he joins me now where he'll stick with us for the hour. Hello, Bruce, and welcome to Armed American Radio. It's great to have you with us.
Hello, Mark.
How are you this evening, my friend?
I am doing just fine. I just saw a baseball game, and my home team won.
That's a beautiful thing. Who's your home team?
The Phillies.
Being up there in Philadelphia. Cheesesteaks, we talked about it the other night. Fourth and South, Jimmy's my favorite.
Yes, it's a great place to have cheesesteaks, absolutely. And now they have all these cheesesteak places in the new stadium, the Citizens Bank Stadium in Philadelphia. It's great.
You know, most people, Bruce, I lived in Philadelphia for, I guess, 2.5 years, a number of years ago when I was being transferred all around with my business. And since leaving and coming down south, where I'm originally from, you see Philly cheesesteak places everywhere, the authentic Philly cheesesteak, and every time I go in and I ask them for extra whiz, they look at me cross-eyed.
It's a Philly thing.
Well, it's a Philadelphia thing. Most people don't get that a real Philly cheesesteak has what on it?
Cheese whiz.
Bingo. So we're telling everybody out there now, unless your place doesn't have, if your place doesn't have cheese whiz, you're not getting an authentic Philly cheesesteak. Bruce, we have got a lot to talk about, and we run out of time every week, so I want to get cracking right off the bat with you. I read your column in this month's edition of Concealed Carry Magazine. It's dynamite stuff, very, very useful. Tell us a little bit about your column, which is Lessons Learned from Tragedy. Talk to us about that real quick.
Certainly. Before I do, I just want to say I like provolone on my cheesesteak, so.
Okay, that's doable, too.
Anyway, The Armed Senior Citizen is a column in Concealed Carry Magazine that is essentially dedicated to senior citizens that have chosen to go armed, which is a very important thing because senior citizens are, victimized a lot by violent criminal actors because they're perceived as easy targets.
Are they perceived as easy targets, or are they easy targets? There's a difference.
Well, unfortunately, in most cases, they are easy targets because, in many cases, senior citizens have a variety of, physical disablements, which, prevent them from fighting back. And, we know that violent criminal actors are cowards, and they're going to go after targets that don't do well at fighting back.
They're no different than animals. They go after the weakest of the pack, they go after the youngest of the pack, or they go after the oldest of the pack because they know their odds of success are much, much greater. I want to give out the phone number again for everybody if you're interested in calling. I know we've only got an hour, but reach out at us at 770-226-0920 or 888-920-2665 if you'd like to talk to Bruce and myself. Bruce, A couple things here to get us started, and one of them is a really basic question, but it's probably the most important one to ask. Why would anybody want to carry a gun?
Basically, it makes sense. It just makes sense to go armed. Human beings, unlike many animals in the animal kingdom, don't come into this world with the kinds of natural defenses that a lot of animals have to protect them against predators. Even think of plants that have thorns, plants that have hard outer bark and shells to protect them against predators. Human beings, don't have big fangs, don't have claws, and, we need to take protection with us because, let's face it, the world is dangerous.
It is a dangerous place, and, you've seen my columns in the magazine. You and I have been writing for Concealed Carry for a long time. I think I'm there 4 years. You're about the same, are you not?
I think it's about 4 years. I'll tell you, the time has flown so fast that it's hard to keep track, but I think it's almost 5 years now that I've been writing for Concealed Carry magazine.
Yeah, it's something else. You're right. Time does fly, and some of my more popular columns have been the columns about those who have survived a gunfight. And in fact, one of the most popular was the gentleman down in Jacksonville whose son was shot by him while defending his family when he killed the perpetrator. We'll go into that in another issue, but now, tell us real quick, who is it? Who wants to carry a gun?
Anybody. Basically, here's the deal. There are some people who should not own guns. And in the book that I co-authored, Essential Guide to Handguns, I actually devoted a chapter to people who should not own guns because there are people that shouldn't own guns. These are people that basically, can't come to terms with the idea that they might have to kill somebody if it was their life, their innocent life, against, somebody else who's trying to take their life.
Bruce, do me a favor. Hang in there 1 second. We're going to get some music in the headset. Hang in there, everybody. We'll be right back with Bruce Eimer on Armed American Radio. Stick around.
Chamber-sponsored Business to Business Expo is returning to the Cobb Galleria on Thursday, June 4th from 4 to 7 p.m. Attendance is free and open to the public. The event features a session with business industry leaders. A cash bar starts at 5, and dozens of leading small businesses in the area will be offering services to improve your operation. The Cobb Chamber of Commerce Business to Business Expo, Thursday, June 4th at the Cobb Galleria Center. For more information, go to cobbchamber.org.
Hi, my name is Shirley Van Heest. I'm from Michigan, and I've been using Annie Willoughby's three-step plan for about 9 months. When I was introduced to the three-step plan, I saw the value of it, and I saw the potential in it. It offers an opportunity to provide some security that you can be in charge of. So many things are out of our control in today's economy, and if we can set ourselves up in business, and we can secure our own future, then I guess we don't have to worry too much. We will get through whatever difficulties may lie ahead. I have never seen anything that has worked so wonderfully. I have seen the potential in it, and now it's becoming realization. And I have really seen great results. I'm feeling very positive about the future and very positive about the growth of my own particular business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 800-305-5482. 800-305-5482.
Now is the best time to buy a home. Why? It's a buyer's market with deep discounts on both new and pre-owned homes in Greater Atlanta. Plus, additional tax credits may apply for certain home purchases. Also, mortgage rates are the lowest they've been in nearly 50 years. So, who should you call?
Nobody knows Atlanta like Chris Monroe.
With nearly 20 years spent covering Atlanta from the ground and from the air, Chris knows Atlanta real estate like no one else. What you'll get from Chris is unmatched personal service. Call Chris Monroe now, 404-924-5520.
Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Extreme Hunting and Shooting Store. You have the right to protect yourself and your family. Exercise that right with Big Woods Goods' tremendous selection of handguns, rifles, and the latest self-defense products. We carry all the best in outdoor sports equipment and shooting accessories, and our knowledgeable staff is here to help. Get them what they really want this year with a gift certificate to Big Woods Goods. Hunting, sports, and self-defense. Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Highway 5 at Holly Springs and online at bigwoodsgoods.com.
Georgie Carey needs you. Visit georgiecarey.org to join Georgia's no-compromise voice for gun owners. Intimately involved in the passage of House Bill 89, allowing concealed carry in restaurants and state parks, GCO is currently fighting MARTA in the city of Atlanta on your behalf, as well as protecting your rights in local municipalities across the state, making sure your gun rights are not compromised. GCO needs your support. Join today by visiting georgiecarey.org. GCO, restoring your right to bear arms.
You are home to the standard bearer of Atlanta's broadcast community. Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA.
Very good. No free man shall ever be debarred the use of arms, proposed in the Virginia Constitution in 1776. Laws that forbid the carrying of arms disarm only those who are neither inclined nor determined to commit crimes. Where have we heard that before? Continuing, such laws make things worse for the assaulted and better for the assailants. They serve rather to encourage than to prevent homicides, for an unarmed man may be attacked with greater confidence than an armed man. Thomas Jefferson, 1774. Bruce, that goes right to the heart of what we were just talking about when we were talking about why would anybody want to carry a gun, and then I asked you who would want to carry a gun. I'd like you to go ahead and continue with that thought if you didn't lose it during all those cool commercials.
Absolutely. Anybody that cares about themselves, that respects themselves, that cares about their life, that cares about the lives of those people who basically fall under the mantle of their protection, would want to carry a gun. Anybody that doesn't want to be a victim by choice of a violent criminal actor would want to carry a gun.
Bruce, I have said this many times before, and I live by it, and I believe it with all of my soul. I believe it is incredibly irresponsible and reprehensible for a man not to have a means of defending his family. I've spoken that before. I stick by it. And obviously that goes to what you just said. It's a social obligation, to use the term that Robert Boatman mentioned in Living with Glocks.
The term victim by choice, are you referring to?
Just the fact that carrying a gun is a social obligation, because without it you are a victim by choice, are you not?
I would definitely agree.
Okay.
I think that unless you are prepared to defend your life, if your life is threatened by somebody who would take your life for any reason whatsoever, then you are a victim of choice.
You are a victim of choice. Let's callers out there, 770-226-0920, 770-226-0920. Outside Atlanta, 888-920-2665. 888-920-2665. Bruce, when you make the decision to carry a gun, and I did, when I made the decision, I know that I had to prepare myself. Mental preparedness is probably the key when you confront that decision to initially, when you first decide, okay, I'm going to make this change in my lifestyle and I'm going to make it a part of my life. What is mental preparedness to you? What does it mean to you?
Well, simply, mental preparedness to me means having the attitude that if the situation becomes one where somebody is threatening my life or threatening the life of somebody that I love, that I care about, if somebody is confronting me with the threat of grave bodily harm, or same for somebody that I care about, that I will do whatever is necessary in order to protect myself and to protect my loved ones.
How do you attain that? How do you attain that mental preparedness?
Well, how I've attained it is not necessarily going to be the same way that somebody else attains it. I think that people come to the realization that their life is worth fighting for from different places. You know that there are people who have witnessed mayhem and murder by people wielding firearms, who become liberal lunatics like Carolyn McCarthy up in New York, whose husband had been gunned down on a Long Island Railroad train by a gun-wielding maniac. On the other hand, you have somebody like the lady, I forget her name, she's also become a legislator from Texas.
Susanna Hupp.
Yeah, who was at Luby's cafeteria, who didn't have a gun at the time and was helpless to defend her parents from being murdered by a gun-wielding maniac. And she became an avid pro-gun rights legislator and supporter. So people come to the realization from different places, and people can have the same experience and end up on different planets, basically.
Now, Carolyn McCarthy was not on that train in New York, was she? She lost her husband, who was on the train.
I believe that's correct.
The reason I bring that up is because you have Susanna Gracia Hupp, I believe her name is. If I'm incorrect, I'll correct that later.
I think that's her name, yeah.
But she was actually there and watched her parents die. Now, she had a weapon in the car that she didn't carry in with her. Now you go back, switch gears to Carolyn McCarthy, who was not there. Carolyn McCarthy wasn't there, was unable to do anything about it, and has become the raging leftist lunatic, anti-gun, the gun is bad, not the shooter, but the gun. Then let's flip over to Texas again. She was there. She witnessed the crime. She was angry while it was occurring because she couldn't do anything about it. So that's what we're talking about here.
I think that makes sense, and I think you bring up a really good point. However, there are people out there, like somebody who recently made a comment on my new blog, personaldefenseblog.com, who is a hospital pastoral counselor who works at a hospital that is a trauma center. And this gentleman wrote me and, objected essentially to my pro-gun position and basically said, you need to come onto my blog and read my entries about all of the victims of gunfire that I see every day in this busy hospital emergency room, and then, come to your own opinion. So this is a person that supposedly is working with people who are who are survivors of criminals and who came to a different point of view. So I don't know exactly what it is that that makes somebody decide that they are going to come to a point where they're going to take a responsible position when it comes to self-defense. I think part of it may be your upbringing. Part of it may be the social environment in which you're raised. I don't know. There's a complex of factors. It's a very complex thing. I mean, a lot of people that profess to be anti-violence, so to speak, if you get their ire up, they'd be ready to punch you in the mouth, So it's important to also remember that the Ten Commandments says, a lot of people interpret it as thou shalt not kill. It really was written as thou shalt not murder.
Right, right. That's a fascinating point. And I think when you look at the dichotomy there, you look at the two different sides of the situation. Again, you got McCarthy, who wasn't present. You have Susanna, who was present. You've got that doctor. That's interesting. Although he's present after the fact. He's not there while the crime is committed. And I think it goes to fear. Doesn't fear, an irrational fear of guns, have something to do with this at some point?
You're talking about hoplophobia.
Hoplophobia, right?
I've basically come to the conclusion from talking to a lot of people that are anti-gun that these are people that have several things in common. Certainly that there are a lot of anti-gun politicians that are just plain old Machiavellian and evil opportunists that take that position for their own gain. And then there are people that are anti-gun that are people of privilege who don't want to see other people armed, but it's okay, of course, for them to have a contingent of armed executive protection bodyguards that are protecting them and for them to carry a gun as well. But I think that there are common folk, like you or me, ordinary guys and ordinary gals, that are afraid of guns because what they're really afraid of is their own rage. They're really afraid of their own anger. I can remember going to a chiropractor who did adjustments on my back, who I don't go to anymore, and I would have to take my sidearm off, obviously, in order to lie on his chiropractic adjustment table. And he told me, basically, that he wouldn't own a gun because if he did, he would shoot somebody because he had an anger problem. And I at least commend him on his honesty. There are a lot of people out there, however, who can't come to terms with that kind of fact and who just basically project their rage outward and don't accept responsibility for their own rage.
That's the old road rage type factor where you've got the most docile human being in the world who somebody cuts them off in traffic and they become a nutcase. And, you know, the anti-gunners say, oh, there's going to be blood in the streets if we allow those people to have guns and all this and that. But it never occurs.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, people that choose to live the armed lifestyle and to take that responsibility, and it is a big responsibility, they are people who learn that you can't afford to lose control of your temper, that you can't afford to get involved in a road rage incident, that you have to hold yourself to a higher standard of responsibility if you carry the power of life and death in your pocket or on your hip. So I know that for me, in fact, in the last 9 years that I've been carrying, that I've had a carry permit in my home state of Pennsylvania, that I, you know, avoid confrontations, that I know that it's not worth it, that any confrontation that I might be in, that there's going to be the potential of deadly force. And, you know, so it's not people who take that responsibility seriously, who carry, are less likely to get involved in situations that are going to lead to altercations that could just, you know, where it just only gets worse from there, you know?
Yeah, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about some personal experience with that, because that's a great point, and I would like to expand on that a little bit. Stick around, everybody. 770-226-0920, 888-920-2665. We'll be right back with Bruce Eimer.
Meteorologist Heather Buckman from the WGKA Weather Center. Staying quiet overnight with mainly clear skies, the low of 64. We'll have lots of sunshine throughout the day on Monday. A very warm day, the high up to 90. We'll have clear skies Monday night, the low 67. Partly sunny for Tuesday with a high up to 88. And then for Wednesday and Thursday, times of clouds and sunshine with a shower thunderstorm possible. Not quite as warm. Wednesday's high 84, Thursday's high 82. I'm meteorologist Heather Buckman from the WGKA Weather Center, powered by AccuWeather.
This is Joe Cordell. I'm here to talk to you about an unpleasant but an important subject, and that's the subject of divorce. If you're in a good marriage, or even a marriage that's not so good but that can be saved, then you can tune out for the next 60 seconds. Now I want to speak to the guys that are still listening. Odds are you're like a lot of guys. You've worked hard to get ahead, you have a nice home, some savings, a solid retirement plan, and children that you love more than life itself. Yet despite your thoughtful game plan, you're now facing a divorce that you can't avoid. That's where we come in. Cordell & Cordell makes it its business to focus on representing men in your situation.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives, which includes protecting men's financial means to do so. Call the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell, a partner men can count on, 404-842-0009. Now with offices conveniently located in Buckhead, Lawrenceville, and Kennesaw, 842-0009, 842-0009.
Georgia Carey needs you. Visit georgiacarey.org to join Georgia's no-compromise voice for gun owners. Intimately involved in the passage of House Bill 89, allowing concealed carry in restaurants and state parks, GCO is currently fighting MARTA and the City of Atlanta on your behalf, as well as protecting your rights in local municipalities across the state, making sure your gun rights are not compromised. GCO needs your support. Join today by visiting georgiacarey.org. GCO, restoring your right to bear arms.
You're listening to the radio home of the We the People Revolution. Welcome to the movement. Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA.
Around the family with a pocket full of shells. They rally around the family with a pocket full of shells.
While the people have property, arms in their hands, and only a spark of noble spirit, the most corrupt Congress must be mad to form any project of tyranny. Reverend Nicholas Collin in the Fayetteville Gazette, North Carolina, October 12, 1789. How come you don't see that kind of stuff out there nowadays? Bruce, we were talking about personal situations or, you know, for people who are carrying a weapon. I've been in situations myself where I have walked out of a grocery store, walked away from a gas pump, walked out of the convenience store because I didn't like something that was going on. I didn't like two people arguing over something. When I'm armed, I leave.
That makes a lot of sense. And a teacher of mine, John Farnham, who's a good friend and a mentor of mine, who is very well equipped to handle most situations, teaches that if he's in a restaurant and he's with his wife or with a friend or anybody, and he sees a situation that looks like it has the potential of getting out of control, he's just going to give his companions a look and say, "We're out of here." And that's it. He leaves. And, you know, if something does erupt and he happens to be leaving at the time, he's very happy to call 911 or tell the arriving police that, you know, he was in there. That he'll just say, "Look, there's trouble in there," and that's what he tells them, and he wants to be out of there.
You know, it's amazing that the anti-gunners, we talk about this every week on this show, and I think every guest, we've made this comment, and we're probably going to beat this dead horse forever, but it's amazing that the anti-gunners just don't get the fact that law-abiding people are not criminals. They don't get that. They don't understand that there are real responsible people out there who take this very seriously when they're carrying a deadly firearm.
It's really incredible, but I think that the liberal anti-gunners, whatever you want to call them, whatever nomenclature you want to give them, I think that basically they suffer from a thought disorder. Yeah. Now, that may be funny coming from me because I'm a clinical psychologist, a doctor of psychology, but I just think that their thinking processes are skewed, and their thinking processes are ruled by emotional thinking and emotional reasoning more than anything else, and that they don't think logically. That somehow that when it comes to this hot issue, that they're on a different planet. And it's not just this issue, of course, we know. It's a lot of issues that they just don't think like us at all.
No, I can't figure that out. It baffles me. It baffles me. I mean, did you see the ABC, If I Only Had a Gun? Did you happen to see that documentary?
I don't watch a lot of TV. I didn't catch that, but I'm aware of the fact that that show was heavily skewed towards the idea that us ordinary people shouldn't be armed. I know that.
Yeah, it was crazy. ABC has gone to the dark side.
Absolutely.
ABC stands for Appease the Brady Campaign now. Bruce, you mentioned training, and I want to touch on that with you. It's very, very important. We talk about it every week. Do you need it? And what kind do you need? I know it's a very basic question, but I want to get your take on it. Obviously, we need it. But what kind of training do we need? And in your classes and your personal experience, what are you seeing now since guns are flying off the shelves out there?
Well, I'm seeing a lot of people that aren't prepared to have a gun, that they may have a gun, or in many cases, what I'm finding, to put it in a nutshell, is people that have guns that don't know how to use them. That are not, if push came to shove, if the stuff hit the fan, that they would be lucky if they hit anything. So training is necessary, just like we need to train our bodies. We need to go to the gym. We need to work out. We need to eat right. We need to learn how to use our tools. Basically, guns are just another tool. I consider them to fall into the category of emergency rescue tools. So you need to know how to use that fire extinguisher that's hanging somewhere in your house if you know where it is. You need to know how to change the batteries on your smoke detectors and your carbon monoxide detectors. You need to know how to use your lawnmower and that buzzsaw safely. So, training is necessary, and, there are a lot of things to learn and to know about firearms in order to be able to safely own and operate them and maintain them.
You know, Masoud Ayoub joined us on the inaugural broadcast back on 4/26, and he made a comment very similar to yours. He said the first thing he would recommend is someone not go out and buy a gun. But
I have a friend. Masoud Ayoub is also a mentor of mine and also a good friend, and he makes a very good point. I've heard him say in his classes, I've taken his Lethal Force Institute training, Lethal Force Institute 1 and 2, and basically he says that, and I agree with him, that he doesn't want to be in the crowd when somebody has to draw their weapon to shoot somebody that needs to be shot, but the person who is drawing their weapon can't shoot straight. He doesn't want to be in the crowd. He doesn't want his loved ones to be in the crowd. So obviously, that brings up the point that if you're going to own a weapon and carry a weapon, that you need to know how to use it. You know, people were a lot smarter in many ways in olden times where, you know, people learned just like they learned how to chop wood, and they learned how to do all the maintenance chores to basically keep their homestead viable. They also knew how to shoot. They knew in times way before firearms that men learned how to use swords and axes and bows and arrows and et cetera, et cetera. People learned how to fight. It was part of their basic training. They didn't have to even take classes for that kind of thing, although the royalty did, but the common folk didn't, you know.
Bruce, as a clinical psychologist, let's disarm the population here in a leftist, liberal, beautiful fairyland world right now. Everybody's disarmed. Are we a peaceful people?
Never. It's never going to happen. Never going to happen.
We'll find a weapon somewhere, won't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely, and there's always going to be big bullies that are going to take advantage of people that are physically weaker. How about males that take advantage of females? How about the profile of rapists and serial murderers that go after people that are weaker, the weaker sex, so to speak? I hate to say that. It doesn't sound right, I know. But violence, is going to always be part of the human condition, and just like out in the forest, in the desert, in the jungle, you have a kind of a pecking order in terms of predator and prey, and we see that kind of hierarchy in this world of ours, which is essentially a jungle.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy out there. I know it's happened to me. I won't waste any time on that right now. Very disturbing, but there's a situation here in Atlanta which popped up today. I saw, and it was just fascinating to me, and it was titled in the Atlanta Journal Constitution, "I can't stand the AJC, liberal rag to me. They come to my house." I've told them, just get away from me. I'm not going to waste my money. I'll check it out online from time to time. And it was entitled, "Break-ins drive home crime issue in mayor's race." And to paraphrase, the terrified woman retreated to the bathroom. The terrified woman is Lisa Borders, currently campaigning to be Atlanta's next mayor. At 1:40 a.m., she was a victim for a third time of a hot home invasion. And she goes on to talk about how petrified she was. She moved behind two closed locked doors, which is the smart thing to do. Get yourself away from the situation.
Right.
And get yourself in a safe room behind as many doors as you can.
Right.
She was on the phone with 911. Absolutely the thing to do. And she was sitting there watching two people, or listening to two people, rob her for the third time while she was home, scared to death, unarmed. Now, I have some advice for her. Buy a gun, learn how to use it, and don't be a victim if those two doors were kicked in. Fortunately, she was unharmed. But let's talk about the mental. What's the mental aspect of a third hot home invasion in your property? That's got to eat you alive.
Well, being from Philadelphia, I'm not familiar with this person. Is she anti-gun or is she pro-gun?
Well, you know, I can't say that because she never mentions the word gun. And I guess my overall point is you never see anybody suggest that. Now, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution is rabidly, fiercely anti-gun.
Right.
Okay? And I can pretty much bet your bottom dollar if she's running for the mayor of Atlanta, she's anti-gun. However, I can't make that statement.
She's a political opportunist, probably.
More than likely, but I'll tell you one thing. She's a politician.
Right.
And I guess if she had to, she'd blow with whatever winds she felt was going to get her in office. We've got a caller, Hap, down in Florida. Hap, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
What have you got down there in Tampa, Florida? That's my old stomping grounds, my friend.
It is.
Yes, it is. What can we help you out with tonight?
Well, I just had a question for Bruce there. The senior citizen just starting out with concealed carry. What type of training or classes should they start with?
Great question, Bruce.
It's a good question. Basically, do you have a concealed carry permit yet, sir?
Yes, I do.
So you took the very basic two-hour course that's mandated in Florida, correct?
Yes.
And that really didn't do much for you, right? Because they basically spend half the 2 hours, an hour, filling out the application and everything, and then they spend the rest of the time going over the law and going over the four rules of firearm safety, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So basically what I recommend is that somebody find a competent firearms instructor that's certified by the NRA and that has experience and that is dedicated to helping newbies, helping people that are new to firearms. You get that kind of person.
I'm not really new to firearms. You know, I've used rifles, but pistols is something that is new to me.
Okay, and so you're new to handguns.
Yes.
So learning to use a handgun is different than shooting a rifle, and it would be very important, I think, and beneficial for you to find a competent instructor that can take you from the beginning and teach you what you need to know in order to shoot a handgun accurately, in order to maintain it, and in order to essentially be able to feel confident that you could go to the range and practice and train with your home defense or concealed carry defensive handguns that you choose. Such a person would also help you choose the right handgun or handguns for you. Your learning curve will probably be better than somebody that has absolutely no experience with firearms, if you understand the basic fundamentals of marksmanship and so forth. But handguns are definitely a different animal than long guns are. And I know a lot of people that have experience handguns that have to learn from an instructor how to shoot a long gun, whether it be a shotgun or a rifle or a carbine or whatever. But I would definitely recommend that you spend 3 or 4 hours with somebody that could teach you the basics. And if you feel comfortable with that person, first you need to find somebody who has the right credentials, which is that they're certified as an NRA instructor. Just because they were a police officer or are a police officer or a correctional officer or a security guard or whatever, that doesn't really mean anything.
Bruce, I had to cut you off right here, but we got some music in the headset. Thanks for Hap down in Florida. Bruce, stick with us. We'll be right back, everybody, on Armed American Radio here on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA.
Hit? Hit back with new Claritin Liquid Gels, now available at CVS Pharmacy. Claritin Liquid Gels capsules are the first and only non-drowsy allergy medicine with pure liquid power, releasing a wave of relief for your itchy, watery eyes, sneezing, and runny nose. Depend on Claritin Liquid Gels and live Claritin Clear. This week, CVS Pharmacy Extra Care Card members can save on Claritin Liquid Gels. CVS Pharmacy, for all the ways you care. Use as directed.
This is talk show host Rick Amato from Washington Times Radio. With federal bailouts and deficits in the trillions, an uncertain economy, what are you doing to protect your family's future? It's time to consider gold. AmericanBullion.com can advise you on how to secure your retirement with the protection of gold. AmericanBullion.com can convert your IRAs to solid gold. For your free gold guide, call today, 800-531-6525. Peace of gold, peace of mind. 800-531-6525.
Hello?
Brian, dude, it's me, Rush Hour Traffic.
Who?
Rush Hour, man. We used to meet up every day right after work.
Oh, yeah. Listen, Rush Hour, I have a TomTom GPS now.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it has this feature called IQ Routes that knows all your regular patterns and habits, so it finds me the fastest way to get home and avoid you.
Well, we had some laughs, didn't we?
No, we did not.
Say goodbye to Rush Hour Traffic. Say hello to TomTom.
Ma'am, I need you to slow down and tell me exactly what you saw.
Okay, officer. Well, he had these crazy, huge eyes, and they just stared at me.
Uh-huh. About how tall?
About 3 inches high, 6 inches wide. I think he was made of money, and he just stared.
Ma'am, that was the money you could be saving with Geico.
No, it wasn't.
Did you hear this music when you saw him?
Yes!
Have a good day, ma'am.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com.
Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Extreme Hunting and Shooting Store. You have the right to protect yourself and your family. Exercise that right with Big Woods Goods' tremendous selection of handguns, rifles, and the latest self-defense products. We carry all the best in outdoor sports equipment and shooting accessories, and our knowledgeable staff is here to help. Get them what they really want this year with a gift certificate to Big Woods Goods. Hunting, sports, and self-defense. Get the goods.
Big Woods Goods. Highway 5 at Holly Springs and online at bigwoodsgoods.com.
Georgia Carey needs you. Visit georgiacarey.org to join Georgia's no-compromise voice for gun owners. Intimately involved in the passage of House Bill 89, allowing concealed carry in restaurants and state parks, GCO is currently fighting MARTA and the City of Atlanta on your behalf, as well as protecting your rights in local municipalities across the state, making sure your gun rights are not compromised. GCO needs your support. Join today by visiting georgiacarey.org. GCO, restoring your right to bear arms.
You're listening to the Broadcast Clearinghouse for Georgia's great ideas. Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA.
GeorgiaCarey.org, everybody. GCO, GeorgiaCarey.org. I'm a member. If you're not, you should be. It's $15 a year, fighting for your rights. This is one dynamite organization, folks, and you do not have to live in Georgia to be a member of GCO. In fact, GCO right now is actively involved in litigation in Wisconsin. Join us. We need your support. Bruce, that call brought a lot of questions to my mind.
Yes, sir.
And I thank the caller for that because it just opened up. We just don't have enough time to ask what I'd like to. But let's talk about learning to shoot. You've got a senior citizen out there. You've got, hey, let's do this. What age do you consider a senior citizen, Bruce?
Well, I guess technically it would be anybody that's over the age of 85.
Ah, that's a beautiful thing. Okay. What do they need to know? Let's talk about learning to shoot. They found a proper instructor. Talk to us about that.
Okay, well, basically what I do in my private instruction into my classes is the first thing I do is I talk about deadly force, and I talk about the circumstances under which one would want to use deadly force, and I talk about the purpose for owning a gun. Then we go over that. And once we get that out of the way, and we talk about mental preparedness and whether or not the person would ever be willing to use deadly force to protect their life if they had to, then we can get into the mechanics of shooting. So if somebody comes to me for instructions so that they can safely own a handgun or choose a handgun for self-defense, that's their ostensive purpose. In most cases, it is. Nobody comes to me for training to be a competition shooter or a target shooter because they probably shoot better than me already. So if they come to me for defensive handgun instruction or defensive shotgun instruction or what have you, we get into that discussion. We talk about the law. We talk about deadly force. We talk about morality, we talk about mental preparedness, and we get that out of the way, and then we talk about shooting. And we start out by essentially going over the types of handguns that are out there, and, you know, basically we talk about revolvers versus semi-automatic pistols in terms of modern smokeless powder handguns. And then we talk about the kind of handgun that would be appropriate for that person for the purposes that that person wants a handgun. So if it's for carry purposes, we're talking about something that is portable, that's concealable, and we also are talking about a handgun that that person can handle. So for many cases, that might be a revolver, a snub-nosed revolver. In many cases, that might be a semi-automatic pistol such as a Glock in 9mm. You know, I definitely don't recommend fitting somebody up with a very powerful caliber that they're not going to be able to handle. I think that the important thing is if you're going to use a gun for self-defense, that you learn how to get your shots on target. It's more important to be able to hit what you're shooting at in the right spot that will stop the attacker. You know, basically a good shot in the right spot with a .32 caliber semi-automatic pistol is going to be more effective than a miss with a .45 or a .44 Magnum, you know, which of course is going to injure innocent bystanders and some granny sitting on the porch down the block. So we talk about that. And I have them handle different weapons, and then we go to the range after I show them the way that these weapons work, and I make sure that we take the weapons to the range, the handguns to the range, that they can get their hands around. And then we go to the range, and I have them shoot a revolver. I have them shoot a semi-automatic pistol. And I have them shoot several of each. And then they are able to, together, we're able to come to a decision about what type of handgun would be appropriate for them.
Basic minimum caliber. What is it? What's your position on that?
Well, I've been criticized in the past by people that say, well, you know, a 32 is a mouse gun, a 32 is too small of a caliber to really do anything, and I think that's all nonsense. I think that any gun is better than no gun. Nobody wants to be shot with a 22 long rifle. You know, I think that for somebody that's serious about having a handgun for self-defense, that minimum caliber is 380 ACP. I think that better yet would be a 38 special or a 9mm for a semi-automatic pistol. And I don't see any reason why people can't, who are serious about armed self-defense, can't learn to handle at least the 38 special revolver or a 9mm semi-automatic pistol. And I also am of the belief that you need more than one gun. So there are some people who think they're just going to buy one gun and that's it. And I'm not talking about people that are nutty collectors like myself. I'm talking about the fact that you need different handguns for different circumstances and different purposes, so that, you know, in many circumstances I'll carry a 32 C-Camp because of its concealability and the fact that I forget that it's in my pocket, so to speak. And there are a lot of times, I'd say 90% of the time, where I carry a little J-Frame 38 Special Snubby in my pocket.
Makes a big difference if you're just running up to the store.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're going to go up and get a soda or whatever the case may be, or pick up a newspaper on a Saturday or Sunday morning, versus going out during your daily duties at work where you're going to find yourself in a pretty gnarly area of town. So maybe you don't want to go with that 380, which, you know, that, let's talk 380 right now, flying off the shelves. What a phenomenon that is. Who would have ever thunk that, right?
Of course, because 380s are at least the ones that are out there now, the new ones like the Ruger LCP and the North American Arms Guardians, and the little there's that little 380 made by C-Camp, which is a wonderful little semi-automatic pistol that is just so concealable. It's the same size as 32, and it doesn't have that much more recoil, really. And you know, it's that's the kind of gun that you can carry to work with you in a suit.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
a formidable little pocket carry gun, and it, you know, it will do the job, like you said. I don't want to get shot with anything. I don't want to get shot with a 22, a 25, a 32, a 38, a 38. I don't want to get shot with anything.
No, and so, you don't know what caliber gun is going to stop somebody immediately to cease their attack, which is the reason you shoot them in the first place. I mean, you want to basically stop them, and any gun will essentially do that if you shoot them in the right place and you basically are a resolute wielder of the weapon. You know, the thing that criminals fear the most is not the gun, but a resolute person behind the gun, a person that projects the attitude of, you are not going to victimize me. I'm going to prevail.
Combat mindset. Bruce, we've got just under a minute. I want to touch with you on something else. I've had a lot of calls about this. Carry at home. Do you carry at home?
Yes, I do. What to carry? Should you carry? What's the question?
Do you?
Both.
And
yes.
If so, both. Right. Yeah, probably both. And we'll run out of time on it, but we'll have you back on for sure.
Oh, I'd love to be on, but time really flies. Basically, yes, I do carry. What I like to carry at home is something that I can fit into my pajamas or a pair of sweatpants, something that won't pull my sweatpants down. What I like to carry at home is the little North American Arms Guardian 22 Magnum Pug, which weighs about 6.5 ounces.
I'm going to have to leave you there, my friend.
Feltec.
We'll bring you back on another time. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us and visiting us tonight on 920 WGKA Intelligent Talk. Visit us at theamericangunfighter.com, my blog, usconcealedcarry.com, and www.armedamericanradio.org. We'll see you next week with Bill Akins and John Monroe.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio with your host, Mark Walters. Brought to you every Sunday evening by the United States Concealed Carry Association. Hear us next Sunday at 8 p.m. right here on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA. And to learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org.